Hello everyone and welcome, Jared Tabor and Nick Taylor here, to conduct a few interviews on behalf of Sterling Knights Radio. We'll be interviewing Mr. Strauss, South Jersey Sports Digest, and also Radio 3 Honors class members. We're attempting to find everyone's thoughts and views on the radio and how it has progressed, and what they enjoy most about the radio station. From a small corner in the classroom, all the way to broadcasting live sports games, WSHS Sterling Knights Radio has covered it all. We're going to kick it off with an interview with Mr. Strauss's views on it all, who runs the station here at Sterling High School. Alrighty, and now we are here with the station manager here at Sterling Knights Radio, Mr. Rob Strauss.
Hello, everybody.
It's nice to be joined by Mr. Strauss here. We're going to ask him a few questions just about the station. First things first, what steps do you think that you need to get Knights Radio, like, really out there?
You know what? Every broadcast, I like to try and get more publicity out there. And social media has been a huge help to get Sterling Radio out there. First and foremost, getting on Twitter and then tweeting out all the score updates and programming notes and things like that. That's been a huge help. But more importantly, we want to get out in the community and out into South Jersey, knowing that, hey, you know, we are out here. We have a radio station. We are broadcasting live events, not just athletics, but also some other stuff such as Toys for Tots Drive and some other community-based events that we do to just get us out there and so that people know that, hey, Sterling has a radio station and it's pretty cool at the same time.
End up going into communications because of this class.
You know what? I'd like to say in my perfect world that all of them do, but I realize that that is not a realistic realistic number. It's really hard to say. I like to have that to say that I have a little bit of an influence on them maybe picking communications as a major, but I'm also a realist, and I realize that some people come into this class with aspirations to be in business or in science or anything like that, history, or they want to be a teacher or whatever the case is. But I think it's a cool little side hobby to have. And I didn't think 15 years ago when I graduated from Rowan that I would be doing this exact thing. There's no way I would ever dream that up, but it's a ton of fun. I enjoy it, and I like to share my passion with some of the other students that, hey, you know what, it was a lot of fun for me. Hopefully it can be a lot of fun for you guys as well.
This, as you were just saying, is a very fun course. All three classes have been fun for me. This has now, for me, been decided as my communications has been my major, so I thank you for being an influence on me.
Welcome to the club.
What aspect of the radio do you think gets people into it? Like, what certain part of it?
You know, me being a music guy, I like to think the music gets me into it. The music is what keeps me on a station. But I would also say free stuff. People love free stuff and contests and ways to get listeners involved. And that's really what it's all about, is trying to find unique, interesting, and fun ways to get your audience involved with what you do. And that's the part that makes it kind of challenging. And you have to come up, you have to be innovative. And that's what we've been trying to do here in some of the stuff that we've done here at Sterling Radio, trying to come up with unique ways to get our name out there and to get the students involved in what we do here.
As a teacher, what do you think it's like to see students progress from year to year and class to class? Now, especially with the Radio 3 Honors program.
It really is a lot of fun to see the progression of the students. So you go back to Radio 1 when they're just reading simple 30, 60-second PSAs to now where we are with the Honors program, making full-length podcasts such as this one. I really like to see the progression, and I tell all my students to keep everything that they make and save it for the rainy day and go back in time and say, hey, you know what, let me go back and listen to my first Radio 1 PSA. And it was hopefully – it was not good, because that means that the progression of the students is getting better. They're more comfortable being on air, and they're more comfortable doing interviews and being a DJ and having fun on air, because that's really what it's all about.
Now, one of the first days of Radio 2, you had us go live.
I did.
I remember that distinctly. I was scared out of my mind. I'm sure Nikki was too, as was Chris Tran. What's it like seeing people go on for the first time? Because that's something we never did in Radio 1.
And I, you know what? I usually don't do that in Radio 1 unless it's a unique situation. I did that. I thought of that whole Radio 2, hey, let's go on air and scare everybody thing like last minute. And I had a student come to me at the very end of last year and say, you know what? I was scared to death of that, but that was an awesome thing for you to do, because it forced me out of my comfort zone. And that was the idea behind it. And I think once you break the ice on going live and knowing that you're going live, it makes it easier every single time. I still get nervous when I go live on Rowan Radio or whenever I'm on broadcasting on Channel 19 or anything. I do get, there is a level of nervousness, but it's like once you get there and you get out on your stage, it makes things a lot easier. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to get with it. And it just comes with practice. And nobody's going to ever have a perfect broadcast or a anything like that. But again, the more you do it, every time you take something away from your broadcast, you almost want to critique yourself, and that's kind of what I do.
Is there any broadcast in particular that you can remember that you thought you nailed or was near perfect?
Not really, only because it's a lot of the ones that I think are some of our better broadcasts are ones that things happen at the last second, especially with sports. Jerry Crisman hitting his shot to win that game against Delsey a couple years ago from three-quarters court. That was amazing. Beating Haddonfield for the first time in God only knows how long when we had that call was a lot of fun. There's so many calls that we've done that have been really, really a lot of fun, but I don't think we've ever had a perfect broadcast. Mr. Shules and I have been working together for as long as we've been here, so a little over 9 years, and we've been doing games on Channel 19 and also on Sterling Radio for that long, and just when we get comfortable with doing football, football's over. And by the time you get used to the players and calling games, that it's over. And then you have to switch it up a little bit and going from football, which is a little bit slower, to basketball, where things are constantly moving. And it's kind of a challenge. So it takes a little while to transition and get used to each other. But I couldn't ask for a better job right now.
Now, you touched on Jerry Crisman's three-quarter shot. This, I don't expect a drawn-out answer like the ones in the past, but what's your favorite call that you've made?
Probably, I don't know. The Jerry Crisman one is definitely a good one because we didn't expect it to happen. And I don't think anybody in that building expected that to happen. From three-quarters court with 5 seconds to go, heaves one up while falling out of bounds with two defenders in his face and puts it up like a shot put and goes off the backboard, off the front of the rim and in. 99 times out of 100, that he has no prayer on that. But for that one moment in time and that one night, it happened to fall. And, I mean, that was a great call. Mr. K's had some really good calls. We've been really fortunate to call some really great, memorable, historic events here at Sterling High School. The girls' volleyball team winning the state championship. We were up there calling that. Mr. K had the call on that one. Mr. Shules had Tommy Sheehan's overtime goal against Haddonfield. So there's been a lot of really good calls, and that's what's a great part about broadcasting is you never know what's going to happen on any given night. And did I think that we had any chance against Delsey 2 years ago when we were, you know, I think we had a handful of wins mid-season. We weren't playing very well. Delsey was ranked in the top 10 in South Jersey, and they come into our gym on a Friday night, and should we have lost that game on paper? Probably. But you know what? That night was something special. And that's what I like about this job.
What's your favorite thing, very favorite thing, about running the station?
I really like the spontaneity of everything and coming up with new and unique ideas and seeing the students get as excited as I am about events that we do or broadcasts that we do or events that we do. Just seeing, relaying that the passion that I have for the broadcasting industry and I almost want it to be infectious to everybody else. And when they catch the bug, that's when I know that's what is awesome. When people get involved and they want to get involved. And that's to me is what my favorite part about running the station.
Is there anything that you miss about when the station was in that corner right over there and then when it was really small?
You know what? I kind of miss the simplicity of it all, but if it's simple, nobody's listening. And the more complex it gets, the more work that comes with it. And that, again, I do remember coming in here on a Sunday evening, scheduling music manually hour after hour after hour, not knowing how to do it automatically. And I remember that. I'm like, there's got to be an easier way to do this. And fortunately, you find different ways to do it. Now, is the station exactly where I want it to be right now? Absolutely not. There's always going to be room for improvement. And that's just that's a life lesson, too. There's nothing in your life that's going to be perfect. You can always need to improve on something. And that's where I am kind of with the station too. I would love for the station to have our own studio and a couple production studios and all this really beautiful equipment. And a soundproof room. That would be fantastic. And that's what we're working towards.
What aspect of whatever conglomerate you're trying to build, if you want to call it that here, do you think the personal studio or the soundproof room would add? What kind of element do you think that would add?
That would be huge. I mean, it would be absolutely huge, because now we can, instead of sending students to the media center or across the hall to Channel 19 or in an empty classroom where you're not getting a lot of noise, which is very hard to do in a high school, you have a soundproof room. I mean, this room that 402 is a pretty nice room, but it's very echoey, and it's tough to get students to all be quiet at the same time while somebody's recording stuff. So I think that adding that element will also make us look a little bit more professional too. Same thing with the TV studio. Mr. Farr has his room separated by a glass wall, and he can be in his room. Students are working on editing projects and video and things like that, and he can send students over to film and still keep an eye on them. And I think that's what we would need here. We need an on-air studio, and I think we also need a couple production studios where students can go in a soundproof environment or somewhat soundproofed environment and go in and get some quality recordings done.
What kind of impact does the Sterling Knights Radio have on this school?
You know, initially I didn't think there was really much of an impact at all, because it was so not very well known. And over the years, with a couple of the events that we've done here, whether it's athletics or even something like the SH Estival, which we do every May towards Memorial Day weekend, we have that all-day music festival outside where we incorporate all of the a lot of the student body in there, and Mr. Riley's foods class comes out, and we do cooking demonstrations. We have the phys ed classes come out. We do field day type stuff, and we give away stuff. That's probably the best part of it, and getting our name out there and getting our product out there. And that's what it's all about.
I'll kind of leave this one open-ended for you. Where does Sterling Knights Radio grow to? How does this grow?
You know what? I think it starts with the student involvement, and really more than anything else. If the students are involved, this thing will more absolutely grow to be something much, much bigger. And that starts with me. I mean, I have to do a better job of always improving the station and the curriculum and coming up with new and fresh ideas for the students to be involved in. And that's why I'm always looking to the students for, hey, you know, what do you guys think about this idea? Because sometimes what I think works isn't necessarily what will work for the students. That's why I like to have a very open forum in here and have all the students be involved in the decision-making process. Now, ultimately, obviously, I hold the final say, but, you know, I like to do stuff that the students are going to have an interest in, and that's what I love to do.
Now, we're going to finish it off here with one last question, which is, you know, you have the Blue Line,
yep,
which you and Mr. Flacco host, and sometimes a guest, which I've been on, the first one of this year. One last question, where are the Leafs going to finish?
You know what? I don't even know anymore. I'm set up for a lifetime of mediocrity with that team, I think. I wish you guys would have seen them in the mid to late 90s. They were just they were beast mode, but now they're just kind of hovering around 500. You know what? I don't even know. To answer your question, I have no clue. I'll talk to you in March, which is about where they tanked last year, but I will always be a Leafs fan. You cut me open, I bleed blue and white, so I just hope they win a cup before I die.
They going to get it this year?
They're going to need some help. There's a lot of really, really good teams in the league, and I don't know if they're quite there yet, but they're getting there.
All right, I really appreciate the time, Mr. Strauss. We're going to close it out here, and we're going to send it over to South Jersey Sports Digest. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
All right, and now we are joined by Mr. Scott Chapelier, and we're going to get him to answer a few questions about South Jersey Sports Digest and Twitter and so on and so forth with South Jersey Sports. How's it going?
That's great.
All right, we're going to get right into it. What kind of feedback do you receive from your followers and your audience personally?
I think Twitter is a great tool in that regard, because you can connect with your audience very directly. I can tweet out scores, tweet out updates from games, you know, things like that, and the audience can see those things, and if they have a question about it or want more information, they can immediately tweet back and say, hey, you know, who scored the winning goal, or, you know, do you know, or, you know, how did that last, you know, touchdown happen, or whatever, and I can immediately answer them back. And sometimes they'll reach out to me if they know that I cover a specific team, and they'll ask me, hey, do you know what happened to this team. I didn't see a score. And so I find in that regard, it's a great way to instantaneously touch base with the fans and audience, and they can ask you questions and you can ask them and immediately get feedback.
How hard is it to find the scores of games that don't have a Twitter?
I tell you what, Twitter has made things so much easier for sports reporters in general and for us in particular, just in the sense that teams that have pages and schools that have pages, athletic departments, will always tweet out their scores and are very good about updating things. And it's a way to immediately find out as soon as the game's over, before they can email you with a result or anything else. You can immediately find out what happened in their game. And it's a great way to know instantaneously what's happening. And if you're at a game that's affected by that game, you know before you even do interviews after your game what happened, and you can say, okay, well, I saw that, you know, I'm covering Eastern Lenape and Cherokee beat Shawnee, so that affects their division race or whatever. I can immediately ask a question after the game and say, okay, well, I saw they lost, so your win puts you in first place. And so I think it's great in that regard. And schools that don't use that, I think that they're not maximizing the potential that Twitter provides.
Now, you're talking about games that people need a certain result. This is on the spot a little bit, but mm-hmm. can you think of a time in particular where there was a really close game and something happened in another game that affected the outcome of that one that you were at, maybe? Or,
well, again, you know, obviously one game isn't necessarily going to affect the outcome of a different game, but games, you know, games are always going on that affect division races or playoff races. And oftentimes, conferences will all play their games on the same day. You know, Colonial Conference will play on Tuesday, Thursday, or whatever. And so a lot of those important matches will be going on at the same time. So Twitter is a great tool to have when those teams have Twitter accounts to update you on what's going on their games, to be able to keep track of what's going on. So if you go in knowing what the division race looks like, you can keep track of that mentally as the day goes on. And know, as like I said, as soon as the game's over, if you see an update from a different game, you can immediately know to ask the coach, okay, well, this team that was in second place to you lost, so now that helps you strengthen your hold in the division.
About how many followers do you have personally, and how much does South Jersey Sports Digest have?
South Jersey Sports Digest is, at this exact moment, just shy of 3,800 followers, and I personally have about 1,150 followers.
Okay. It's a good outreach you got going there.
Yeah, no, and you know, that's something that I've worked really hard at. When I was first approached about creating a Twitter account, you know, they kind of stressed, you know, how this could be helpful. And I actually didn't start using my Twitter account right away. I created the account and then kind of watched what other people were doing to kind of get a feel for how to approach it, how to maximize, because you only have that 140 characters. You have to be able to maximize the information that you convey in those 140 characters. So I kind of watched to learn how to do it, kind of decide how I wanted to approach it. You know, hashtags are very important, that, you know, they're a way to connect with other people that are searching for specific information. You can use the hashtags to help convey information to where, again, you maximize the space at hand. So
now, Sterling Knights Radio here has not only the, obviously, as I said, the radio station, but they have the TV station, and the Twitter account's very big, mm-hmm. as we've been talking about basically this entire time. Now, they do a very good job of utilizing their – they do a good job, as you said, just utilizing that 140 characters, get the point out there, let everyone know the scores, what's going on. Now, I feel South Jersey Sports Digest does that more because they can branch out into the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, how well they're able to get out there?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's one of the nice things about South Jersey Sports Digest Twitter account is it's tied into the website. So when scores are updated on the website, it immediately tweets that score out to everybody that follows them on Twitter. So if you're not necessarily looking at the website, checking constantly for score updates, all you have to do is follow the Twitter account, and as soon as a score comes into the site, it immediately goes out to the readers. And you know, our management is very good about tweeting out new stories when they get posted. You know, we have Virtuous School of the Week. We have, you know, a new feature, Quick Six, where we ask a player from South Jersey six quick questions. And, you know, we have the weekly show that's taped here at Sterling that, you know, whenever those things go up online, they always tweet that stuff out and encourage people to go to the website, check that out, and check out other things that are on the site. And I do the same thing for my own personal account. Whenever I have a new story go up, my weekly notebook or anything like that, I always tweet it out. So, you know, I think it's a great way to, you know, let people know, not just in one area, but I mean, and, but again, that's tied into why Twitter, I think, has become so important, is because a school like Sterling can have that Twitter account that tweets out their scores. That informs us, so then we can spread it to an even wider audience that follows not just Sterling, but wants to know about everybody. So, yeah, that's why I think Twitter is such a great tool to use.
And we'll follow it up here with one last question. What sets South Jersey Sports Digest apart from all the other people that report on South Jersey sports?
Well, again, you know, South Jersey Sports Digest, as far as I know, is the only one that's a website only and is not tied to a newspaper. And I think that can be somewhat freeing in the sense that you're not tied to a print deadline, which, you know, in this industry have become earlier and earlier to accommodate technology and things like that. So, you know, a lot of people where they cannot necessarily, you know, newspapers have trouble covering later events, 7 o'clock games, things like that, because their deadlines are so early that they can't always get to those games and justify doing it for online only and not being able to get it in the paper as well. We don't have those constraints, so we can pretty much cover anything we want. And as soon as it's over, you know, we'll get a story up online, you know, whether it's 11 o'clock at night if it's a late game, or if it's 11 o'clock in the morning if it's an early game. And we can get that information out immediately and not have to worry about the print aspect of things.
Okay, I really appreciate the time. And now we're going to lead right into the Radio 3 Honors members that we interviewed today. I really appreciate the time. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Deflected, they score! And Giroux's got it! He deflects it by Antiniemi! And the Flyers have some magic left as they win it in overtime!
If you're a regular, even avid fan of the NHL, The Blue Line is just the show for you. Hosted by Rob Strauss, John Flacco, and other weekly guests, we will provide you with the best of the NHL news and notes. The show will air once a month and cover anything that's going on inside the game of hockey. From your Flyers, even to the Maple Leafs. Preseason rankings all the way to the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll cover it all. Covering trades, rumors, and the rest of the news surfacing around the league. Miss the show? You can grab the podcast on Sterling's website, or just tune into Sterling Knights Radio for the rebroadcast. That's The Blue Line, airing once a month with your hosts Rob Strauss and John Flacco, exclusively on Sterling Knights Radio.
Looking for a good workout? Don't have enough money to afford a gym membership? Sterling High School is just the thing for you. The fitness center in Sterling is completely free, and it has all the proper equipment of a real gym. It is open and accessible for students every day after school from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. On Mondays through Thursdays, the fitness center is open from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the whole community. Come down and get in shape for free at the Sterling Fitness Center.
And now here we are with Matt Easterday. We're going to follow up with some of the Radio 3 students and get their take of how the radio station has progressed and looked on from here on out. So we're joined by Matt Easterday. Thank
Hello.
You for joining us.
What's up?
First question we have for you is, how do you think the station has progressed as a whole?
You know, as my 4 years here, as you could hear, remember Strauss taught us in class. It just started from one computer in the side of the room. And, you know, now he has like a full board and everything. And, you know, even my dad helped him out with some of the music, getting hit the, you know, more options of music on the station. I think it's progressed pretty well so far. I mean, I don't think it's at its highest potential point, but, you know, I definitely think that it can get better and, you know, more stuff can get added to it.
What about something like Ustream and iHeartRadio? Those, I think, would add a different element. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Strauss definitely, you know, he didn't like what his other thing was, I don't remember what it was really, but, you know, Ustream has definitely improved now that he's still using that during, you know, football games and soccer games, you know, better audio, and it sounds a lot better than what the others used to sound like.
What is your favorite memory so far from all your years in radio?
You know, there's been a lot, but I would probably have to say the first ever SHS level. You know, that was something that Justin Ford came up with, and Strauss kind of stuck with it, and it was a lot of fun. Just brought the whole entire like school together, and we got the radio out, and everyone now knows about the station.
Touching on the SH Festival, you just mentioned it, obviously. How much do you think that plays into people actually listening in school? Because I know it's tough for people outside of the school even to listen to the station, because with limitations with the only streaming and only streaming from Macs at this point, which is quite annoying for people who have different phones. Oh, yeah. How do you think that helps people who can't listen at home to listen at school with the SH Festival?
You know, most of the kids, we have the contest and all stuff like that to get the kids listening and, get the station out there. The kids go home to their parents and say, hey, we had this thing in school and, we have a big radio station. That gets more people involved and they're like, hey, I want to listen to that. And, it just gets everyone, like the community together, I guess, and, it brings people together.
That's going to wrap it up. Thank you, Matt East, today for joining us.
Yeah, you're
appreciate
welcome.
The interview. And we're going to swing it over to another Radio 3 member in just a little bit. And you're listening to Sterling Knights Radio. All right, and now we're joined here by another Radio 3 member, Chris Tran, to follow up with our interview with Matt Easterday that we just had. We're going to ask Chris Tran a few more questions. Similar question to what I asked Matt Easterday. What life lessons do you think that you've earned just from being in this radio class?
Well, so far being in radio class, this is my third year in a radio class. I've learned basically what I want to do in my life, which would be go for radio. I've learned how to use GarageBand, how to make PSAs, how to make myself sound better. I've learned a lot.
How do you think a teacher like Strauss has molded you for the future?
Well, Strauss was a broadcaster before a teacher, so he knows how to prepare you for college and for the future in the business side of things, as well as teaching you. So that helps a lot, just from the different perspectives.
To follow up with that, if you are going for something like sports broadcasting, how do you think having our own station here, as compared to other schools which don't really have one, helps you out for the future?
Well, it just gives you experience, and it makes realizing how you sound on the radio gives yourself confidence when talking, especially when our radio station broadcasts sports games. It gives you the opportunity to do the exact same thing that the big announcers are doing on the bigger stages. It's still the exact same thing. It's just a high school team.
What kind of impact do you think that something like Ustream has on the station? Because before, it would just be hard to stream the games, but now this is easier. You don't have to have a Apple product. You can just go on Ustream.
Well,
what do you think that is?
Having Ustream benefits everybody because it's a lot easier to listen to. And also, before just going off the website, it would crash a lot of times and it wouldn't be as clear. Ustream, it has a benefit of making everything clear, and everyone has a smartphone, so you can download the app. It's free, and it helps our station out as well.
Being critical, well, constructive criticism here, how do you think this station could progress more?
Well, definitely, I know Strauss has been talking about trying to get our station on iHeartRadio. That would definitely make us progress. Maybe even eventually becoming on the dial, because right now we can't stream really far. It's just basically the people in our community. I guess every single year it's getting bigger, especially with this Radio 3 Honors class. We're getting more classes. Everything's just growing every year.
When we visited Rowan Radio, the way they're set up is a lot more complex than ours, but we're taking baby steps. We went from one computer in the corner of the room to now we have a large mixer board, mics. It's still in the works, but how do you think something like a personal studio could help the station?
Well, absolutely. You saw even when my time at Sterling, just within my 4 years, freshman year, there was no going live. There was no any of that. And then now we're going live every day whenever we want to. And it just keeps progressing. A studio will give us the opportunity to go live all the time whenever we want, especially when some people could be doing PSAs and recordings in the classroom, and we can still go in the studio and go live at the same time. So we'll be able to get more out of the class.
And then we're going to finish it off here with one more question. What was your most fond memory of all your years in radio station or the radio program?
My greatest memory was probably broadcasting the River Sharks game, especially because what I want to do in my life is sports broadcasting. It could let me see how you do professional sports, and especially getting to meet the people who do the River Sharks, their broadcasting, going in their booth after our broadcast. It was just really cool, and it gives me a perspective of how I'm going to be doing this later on.
This has been Nick Taylor and Jarrett Tabor. Thanks to Strauss, Scott Chapelier, and students Matt Easterday and Chris Tran for the interviews. This has been brought to you by WSHS Sterling High School Radio.